if he was going to run for office or if he ever considered running for office. Just imagine there's a young Tim Skubic out there waiting to stick a microphone in his face.
Bring him on. Bring him on.
Senator Skubic, what do you think? Where's the money at, Tim?
Oh, man, you know what? It's just not worth it. You and I have talked about this before. I admire people that are willing to make the personal sacrifice in order to get into the arena. And there's very little positive feedback there yet. It has to be self-generated.
Well, as I started thinking about that, I told you about the interview that I had with a former Detroit mayor who had told me after 4 years it was just too much on his life, on his family. And what I thought was interesting is probably when the founding fathers came up with this political plan, they probably only thought guys would leave the farm for a little bit and then they'd go back after a few years because it'd kill them.
Well, you also remember many of them were dead by 42, you know, so it wasn't like they were going to make a career out of this.
Well, yeah, keep doing that and you'll be dead at the same thing. Hey, I want to ask you about this tax we've been talking about this morning. It was introduced by a bill by Roger Kahn. Apparently, it was a sneaky way to get some money for Medicaid. What's your take on that?
Well, it wasn't sneaky. It was debated, and it was out in the open, and everybody knew it was in there. Just because it didn't get it coverage doesn't mean that they tried to sneak it in. The governor was very open about this, as was Roger Kahn, and the HMOs and all those people signed off on the thing. It's a way to raise some money to, you know, basically, if you get some health care, you get a 1%. Isn't 1% that's slapped on it? And that raises some money to, you know, go to the hospitals or whatever. So I would respectfully reject that it was sneaky. People may not like it, but it was out there and it was reported upon.
Well, those costs are going to be passed on to the consumer, aren't they?
Well, welcome to the real world, my friend. What isn't? I mean, you know, they always talk about business taxes. They're really not taxes on businesses, some way or the other. The cost gets passed on to the consumer. Look at the automobiles, the health care costs that workers get on the line, that $1,200 or whatever the current number is, that ends up on the sticker price. So I guess there's just no way to get around that, man.
I wanted to get your take on the redistricting. Is that really a big deal?
It is for the politicians, and it should be for the voters. You know, who your representative is going to be is kind of important, and the redrawing of the voting district lines is kind of an inside baseball game that all the politicians are concerned about because their careers are on the line. And you got a number of lawmakers who are going to end up, if these plans that the Republicans drafted remain in effect, and that is a huge question mark because I think they're headed for the courts, but let's assume for the sake of discussion here this morning that they do. Are you going to have some incumbent lawmakers running against each other in other districts? And that's always uncomfortable. But, I mean, it's just based on population shifts and reapportionment as part of our Constitution, and the games go forward.
Now, I've been through both Detroit papers, local paper here, throughout the web world, and I can't find any news stories about the bridge. So, as you said, that's a done deal for now.
Well, it's on hold for now. The hearing that was supposed to be held yesterday was canceled because the Senate session went long. And there might be a hearing or two over the summer month when lawmakers go back home for July and August, which itself is another story. And then there might be a vote on it in the fall. But the governor's got a long ways to go on this one.
For your blog in the Oakland Press, do you write the headlines?
No.
Oh,
wait a minute. No, yes, I do. I do. Yeah, I do.
I like the one, Cali is no Cherry.
Well, it's true. I mean, if you're John Cherry, a very capable lieutenant governor, the popular wisdom in town, Tony, was that he was underutilized by the governor, his boss. And the popular wisdom is the reason she did that, whether it's right or wrong, but people believe that there was only room on stage for one star and she was it and he wasn't. Contrast that, tremendous contrast, to Rick Snyder. As I put in that blog, their theme song is, "Wherever you go, whatever you do, we're going to go through this together." You like that?
Very nice.
Yes, thank you. No charge. And they're sort of glued at the hip. Cali is his point man on all these major issues, and he gets credit for stuff that's done. And it's quite a thing to watch.
And pension, tax, budget, bridge, all that you outline in the blog, Cali worked it.
Yeah, he did. He did, and he worked it well. He got most of the stuff done except the bridge. I am picking up some soundings, though, from some people on the inside that Mr. Cali is maybe getting a little, what's the word I'm looking for, enamored with the power that he does
have.
Too
big for his britches.
That I wouldn't use that term to his face. I might behind his back, but not to his face. But you know what? It is working for them. Snyder basically did the same thing that Granholm did. He realized he didn't have the hands-on experience. That's why she picked Sherry. That's why he picked Cali. Now, Cali's experience did not even come close to the experience that Sherry had, but he did have something that Sherry also had, and that was the mutual respect from both sides of the aisle, and that is very essential to working a legislative deal.
Before I let you go, when I met Mr. Cali before session started, and here's what I thought. Two things popped into my brain. Number one, he's a pretty cocky, confident guy, and by that I mean he's just a confident, self-assured guy, but I also thought this guy is positioned to be the next governor.
Well, there isn't a lieutenant governor that I'm familiar with over the years and hasn't thought about that, for crying out loud, but that is a long ways down the road. If you assume Mr. Snyder runs again, all right, that's Mr. Cali waits 6 years. He's 34. By golly, he could probably run for governor at age 40. But you don't want to, that's just in the DNA. If you're doing this job, why wouldn't you want to have the top job? By the way, he's a very accomplished piano player. And by the way, he travels around the state with a piano when he's in his car, in his trunk. You know, if there's a gig on the corner or something, there's something. Maybe this guy's picking it. And he's an absolute expert on the Beatles.
Man, we're going to have to get him together with the former president. He can get his sax out, and Mr. Cali can play the keyboard.
Well, it's Mr. Snyder. He plays saxophone as well. Did you know that?
I did not.
Yeah.
Boy,
he was tenor sax in the band. In fact, the first time he and I sat down to break bread together, you know, I'm an old clarinet player, and I said, so were you in the band? And he kind of paused. He said, well, yeah. I said, what'd you play? Saxophone. I said, oh, single reed guy. We're going to get along just fine.
All right, we got to run to a break. Thank
Go
you.
Go get him, kids.